Welcome to Good News in the Morning, a program of words and music, bringing a Christian message of hope and encouragement to those who are looking for an intelligent, meaningful, and spirited approach to faith and to life.
Today, I choose to follow you. Today, I choose to give my yes to you. Today, I choose to hear your voice and live. Today, I choose to follow you.
Good morning and welcome to Good News in the Morning. My name is Brent Russett, and I'm the senior pastor at Sunnyside Wesleyan Church. It is my pleasure to look at some of life's challenges and then to bring to you some good news in the morning. This program is sponsored by Good News Christian Ministries. If you want to look us up on the internet and re-listen to a program, you can find us at goodnewsinthemorning.ca. So today we're going to look at Mark chapter 1 through 5. Sometimes it's helpful to look at a very small portion, like a verse or two, of Scripture, and sometimes it's helpful to take a wide swath of Scripture so we can see the panoramic view. This morning, I'm going to walk you quickly through the first five chapters of Mark. If you know the New Testament, you will know that the first four books are the story and life of Jesus, but they're told from different perspectives. Mark was the first of these four books to be written. What Mark wants more than anything else, is to help his readers understand who Jesus is. Matthew was written so the Jewish people could understand who Jesus is. Luke was written that the non-Jewish people could understand who Jesus is. John was written to help people believe. But this morning, we are in Mark. The way that Mark shows who Jesus is by showing the authority of Jesus. Now, I don't know about you. I don't give a whole lot of time thinking about authority. Now, if you are in the military, you probably get authority better than most. You understand what you're responsible for and what you're not responsible for. If you have ever been in prison, you will have experienced the severe limitation of your authority. Your choices are minimal. But if you are going to understand this passage, it's helpful to understand that we all have some measure of authority. I have authority over my Visa card. Well, kind of. I have to negotiate with my wife. And technically, the bank owns the card itself, but go with me on the illustration. I can choose what I want to buy with my credit card. I can buy clothes, or I can buy groceries, or if the price is right, I could buy a motorcycle with my credit card. I have the authority to use the credit card in whatever way I see fit. But it's not unlimited authority. I do not have unlimited credit. I have authority within limits. But for the most part, I can make the decisions about how my credit card gets used. But I don't get to make the decisions of how your credit card gets used. If I made decisions about how your credit card got used, then I would be guilty of identity theft. That would be illegitimate authority. Another word for authority is power. I have the power to make a decision. Now, we don't all have the same scope of power and authority, but you get the idea. The amount of authority you have dictates what you can choose and what you cannot choose. Now, the people that Mark was writing to understood authority well. You see, the Romans ruled the world. The Romans, by the power of their armies, had authority. Because of this, the people's governments and people's behavior were subject to Rome. The people could not crucify Jesus without Rome's consent. The people were forced to pay taxes to Rome. They didn't have any say in the matter. The authority of Rome limited their own authority, and they felt it. I feel the limit of my own authority all the time. When I watch someone who is sick, and I don't have the authority to make the choice to heal them. I watch someone who is struggling emotionally, and I don't have the power to remove the struggle. There are often times where I wish I could just wave my hands and take the struggle away, but I can't. Now, with that as a backdrop, let me remind you of some of the stories in the first five chapters of Mark. You may remember Jesus was baptized, and then when he was coming out of the water, God's voice was heard from heaven. Mark chapter 1, verse 11, it says, "And the voice came from heaven, 'You are my son, whom I love. With you I am well pleased.'" The first thing that Mark shows us is that Jesus has God's stamp of approval. Then Jesus starts his teaching ministry. On one Sabbath day in Capernaum, he was teaching, and a person who was demon-possessed started screeching. Jesus said to the demon, be quiet, come out. And the demon obeyed him. And this is what Mark records in Mark chapter 1, verse 27. The people were all so amazed that they asked each other, What is this? A new teaching, and with authority. He even gives orders to impure spirits, and they obey him. Jesus went from there, and he continued his preaching ministry and the ministry of exorcism. And he also started a healing ministry, and people were flocking to him from all over the place. I pick up the story in chapter 2. Jesus was again in Capernaum and was at someone's house, and the house was crowded. There was this paralyzed man, and some of his friends wanted to carry their friend to Jesus, but they couldn't get near Jesus, so they cut a hole in the roof, and they lowered the man down in front of Jesus, right in the middle of the crowd. And this is what Mark chapter 2, verse 5 records. When Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralyzed man, "Son, your sins are forgiven." Now, some teachers of the law were sitting there thinking to themselves, "Why does this fellow talk like that? He is blaspheming. Who can forgive sins but God alone?" Immediately, Jesus knew in his spirit that this was what they were thinking in their hearts. And he said to them, "Why are you thinking these things? Which is easier, to say to this paralyzed man, 'Your sins are forgiven,' or to say, 'Get up and take your mat and walk'? But I want you to know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins." So he said to the man, "I tell you, get up, take your mat, and go home." He got up, took his mat, and walked out in full view of them. And this amazed everyone. And they praised God, saying, "We have never seen anything like this." So now we see that Jesus has God's approval. And now he does what only God can do and forgive sins. He has authorities over the demons, and he has authority over sickness, and now he has authority over sin. Another story. One Sabbath, Jesus was walking through grain fields with his disciples, and they began to pick some heads of grain and eat them. In that time, that was viewed as harvesting and breaking the Sabbath. The Pharisees called him on it, and this is what they said in verse 27 of Mark 2. Said to him, "The Sabbath was made for man and not man for the Sabbath. So the Son of Man is Lord even over the Sabbath." Now Jesus is saying, "I have authority over the Sabbath as well." Come with me to chapter 3, verse 13. Jesus goes up onto the mountain, and he is going to choose who would go up after him. And it says this, "He appointed 12 that they might be with him and that he might send them out to preach and to have the authority to drive out demons." He has the authority to appoint preachers, and then he gives them the authority to drive out demons. So he appoints the 12 disciples and apostles. Another story, chapter 4. Jesus has been teaching the crowd. He has been teaching and storytelling all day, and when evening came, he got into the boat to go to the other side of the Sea of Galilee. A furious squall came up, and the disciples thought that they were done for. They went to Jesus, who was asleep, and said, "Don't you care if we drown?" Mark chapter 4, verse 39. He got up, rebuked the wind and the waves, "Quiet, be still." Then the wind died down, and it was completely calm. He said to his disciples, "Why are you so afraid? Do you still have no faith?" They were terrified and asked each other, "Who is this? Even the wind and the waves obey him." Not only has Jesus been validated by his heavenly Father, not only does he have the power over demons or the power to heal or the authority over the Sabbath or the authority to delegate his authority, now he demonstrates that he has authority over nature. If we were to take the time to read chapter 5, we would see him raising a child from the dead. And he demonstrates that he has authority over death himself. The Gospel of Mark is trying to let us know who Jesus is by telling the stories of Jesus. One of the themes of Mark is that Jesus has authority over the various realms of life. We're going to reflect on that as we listen to Guy Penrod as he sings a medley, "Rock of Ages," and "I Stand Amazed."
Rock of Ages, cleft for me, let me hide myself in thee. Let the water desire which flowed be of sin, the double cure, save from wrath and make me pure. Not the labor of my hand can fulfill thy law's demand. Could my zeal no longer know? Could my tears forever flow? All for sin not atone. Thou must save, and thou alone. Oh, how marvelous, oh, how wonderful, and my song shall shall close in death. When I soar to worlds unknown, see thee on thy judgment throne. It's a rock of ages, a cliff for me. Let me hide myself in thee.
The Gospel of Mark shows us that Jesus has authority over all realms of life. The way the Gospel of Matthew sums this up is at the very end of his book. In Matthew 28:18, it says, "Then Jesus came to his disciples and said, 'All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples.'" Jesus seemed to think that because he has authority and has authority in the various areas of life, that well, it should make a difference in how we live. All authority in heaven and earth has been given to me, therefore go and make disciples. So what difference does the fact that Jesus has authority over all realms of life make in your life? I guess we should probably note some realities here. The provincial government of Ontario has the authority to set speed limits on the highways of Ontario. But does everyone travel the speed limit on the highway? No, just because one has the authority does not mean that everyone acknowledges that authority. Until, of course, they get a speeding ticket, and then they have to acknowledge the authority with their pocketbook. Philippians chapter 2, verse 9 says, "Therefore God exalted Jesus to the highest place and gave him a name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. There will be a time when everyone acknowledges the authority of Christ. But right now, this is not so. Although Jesus has been given all authority, people don't always acknowledge his authority or live with it, at least not yet. But for those who are disciples of Christ, followers of Christ, what difference does it make to you that Jesus has all authority? Well, part of following Christ is to acknowledge his authority. In fact, that's how you became a follower of Christ. Romans 10 verse 9 says, if you declare with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Part of what it means to become a Christian is acknowledging the authority that Jesus has in your life. When you say, Jesus, I give my life to you, you are saying you have authority to say what goes in my life. I also recognize that we often struggle with that. Often people become Christians and they give their lives to Christ and Jesus comes into their life, but it takes some time for every area of their life to come under the authority of Jesus. Some struggle with money or time or career or relationships or behaviors, and it takes a while to say, Lord, what you say I will do in every area of my life. But that is the beginning of real life. Those who would save their life would lose it, but those who would lose their life for Jesus' sake will find it. What it means to lose your life for Jesus is to surrender your own authority to him. He gets to be the decider for your life. Maybe that is where you are with the authority of Jesus. You know that he has all authority, but there are some areas of your life where you're still not minding the signs. And the wages of sin, and a good definition of sin is not heeding the authority of Jesus. The wages of sin is death. Whenever you don't mind the authority of Christ, it is toxic to your soul, because the whole reason why Jesus came is to bring life and for you to have life to the full. It may be that some of you are here today and you haven't come under the authority of Christ, or you have only done so in part. I want you to urge you to confess Jesus as Lord. For others of you, what the authority of Christ will mean in your life is real freedom, just like it did for the disciples who were harvesting on the Sabbath. Jesus said, I know that these people are saying that you can't do that, but I want you to know it's all right. There are people who will tell you that you are crazy to dump the career path you're on, even though you know it's the right thing to do. Jesus may come along and say, it's all right to follow your heart, the heart that I have given you, rather than the expectations of the people around you. There is a profound freedom in following Jesus rather than the expectations of others. Knowing that Jesus has a greater authority than the authority of other people's expectation can be freeing. There are people who will give you religious expectations. And I want you to know, Jesus loves the church. Jesus called the church his bride. Jesus wants the church to be healthy and strong and beautiful. But there is often a big difference between the church that Jesus loves and a religion that operates in his name. Coming under the authority of Jesus helps us when it comes to getting misled by religions that add and take away from what Jesus has said. There's a freedom that comes from the authority of Jesus. We saw how Jesus had authority over the demonic and how he delegated his authority to his disciples. Does Jesus still delegate his authority? I want you to remind you of what Ephesians chapter 1 and 2 say. In Ephesians chapter 1, verse 19, it says, power is the same as the working of his mighty strength, which he exerted when he raised Christ from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly realm, far above all rule and authority and power and every dominion that can be named or in the present age or in the one to come. And God placed all things under his feet and appointed him to be head over everything for the church. So Jesus has ascended into heaven, and he has been placed far above every authority in this world, both now and the world to come. God has appointed him head over everything for the church. And now look at what chapter 2 says. And God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms, in Christ Jesus. Where is Jesus seated? Well, he's far above all the authority in this world. And then he comes here and says, sit with me. And because of your connection with me, I'm giving you authority to do things in my name. That is why Jesus invites us to pray in his name. There is an authority that comes with being connected with Jesus. In fact, that's what it means to pray in Jesus' name. Jesus is giving his authority to answer your request. There's something very good and profound about that. Jesus gives us the authority to do what he has called us to do. So when he says, "All authority has been given to me, therefore go and make disciples," we know that we can do what he has called us to do because he has authority and he's given that authority to us. What is his call in your life? If God has called you to something, he will give you the power, the authority, the grace to do it. The Gospel of Mark shows us how Jesus has authority over every sphere of life. Jesus says, because he has authority, we're to go and make disciples. In fact, Mark shows us where he gives authority to his followers. Wonder what would happen if you took up the authority that had been given to you in Christ. Wonder what would happen if you took up the authority that he has placed in your life. If you made choices that you knew he was calling you to make. If you did what he was calling you to do. If you overcame the fear and reached out to the neighbor he was calling you to reach out to. If you overcame the sense of frustration and said, okay, I'm going to follow in your footpaths even though it doesn't feel like I'm making headway. If you were to overcome the roadblock saying, I'm going to trust Jesus to take the roadblocks out of the way, what would happen in your life? What would happen is that the authority of God that has been given to Jesus, and Jesus has given some of that to you because you're connected with him, you're going to make headway. And you're going to be able to do what he's called you to do. My prayer for you is that you will walk into the authority that you have been given. Let's pray. Thank you, Jesus, for all the authority that you have. All authority has been given to you. You have authority over every sphere of life. And my prayer is that you would indeed come and give each person here who knows you just a sense of what it means to live out that authority in their own life. I pray that their prayer would take on new meaning and new power because they know that they have authority in you because they're connected to you. I pray, Lord, that they would be able to move into all that you called them to do. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, thank you for listening. It's been good to be with you this morning. I want to tell you about this great special event that's happening on Friday, May 9th at 7 p.m. at Parkdale United Church. Good News in the Morning is putting on a special evening. We've invited Dr. Rick Reed. He is the president of Heritage College and Seminary. He's a former pastor at the Met. And he's coming to speak to us about the good news, about getting out the good news. Redeemer Alliance worship team will be there, and as will the speakers that you normally hear on this program. It's going to be an evening worth going to, so mark it on your calendars. Friday, May 9th at Parkdale United Church at 7 p.m. Well, thank you, listeners, for your words of encouragement and for keeping us in your prayers. Keep this program on the air. Continues to be a work of faith. If you can help with that, we would encourage you to do so. You can make checks payable to Good News Christian Ministries, Box 184, Rideau Ferry, Ontario, KOG1WO, or you can give online by going to goodnewsinthemorning.ca. My prayer is that you may know Jesus personally and profoundly. May the Holy Spirit reside deep within your heart, and may our Heavenly Father surround you with his constant and abiding and accompanying love. We're going to go out by listening to Hillsong, My Redeemer Lives.
His blood.
Good News in the Morning is produced in the studios of News Talk Radio.